because he was fired from SNL years ago and finally had that like trials and tribulations and won over time.
The best thing that ever happened to Shane Gillis was him getting fired from SNL.
Welcome to The Real O Show. I'm Zachary.
And I'm Joshua. And we're brothers chasing the curiosities of our life.
And on this show, we'll deep dive the most influential people, music, and topics going on in the world.
And today we're talking Shane Gillis and NCAA 25. About to get all this dough. Me and no fuck niggas know. I swear to God, we the ghosts. This ain't the story they told. Man, if you know, then you know. I never had to tell my dogs when we on roof for breaks. They pay for getters, they want money more than they want.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to the show. We have two topics today that I think are incredible. One, Shane Gillis finally performed on Saturday Night Live. And then we're going to get into the NCAA 25 video game, which I think is going to be state of the art. But Joshua, go into your thoughts on Shane Gillis finally performing his jokes, because he had an 8-minute monologue before in the skit. What did you take from it? But also, what's most interesting about it is he was fired from SNL years ago and finally had that like trials and tribulations and won over time.
Shout out to Shane Gillis. Had a full circle moment. If there's one thing it showed me, was I was really happy for Shane. He used a lot of his old material, which Louis C.K. literally told him, like, yo, don't make a bunch of new material for this. No one has seen you that's going to watch this show. Like, just use a bunch of old material. So me as a Shane Gillis fan, I had heard a lot of his jokes that he said in the monologue, not taken away from it. It was fantastic. That was hilarious. There's a really funny clip of a girl who's just mean mugging him the whole time, just hating his jokes. It was fucking hilarious. But I will say, there's one thing that I learned from Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live is horrible. It is a brutal show.
Yeah.
It hasn't been good in a fucking decade. And even with Shane Gillis on it, it was like they just like PG'd everything he does. Like Gillian Keeves, they should have just took his sketch comedy show and just played it for Saturday Night Live. And it would have done the most numbers ever in the history of Saturday Night Live.
Well, that's what on Twitter they were talking about, how they should have just used his old sketch shows. But I want to jump in really quick before you dive into it. Saturday Night Live brought Shane Gillis on because they knew people were going to, one, post about it because Shane Gillis is popping.
It's the first time Saturday Night's gone trending in fucking years.
And then two, people were going to post about it, why he got fired in the first place. Why did they let him back on? They're just trying to go trending. They want to get popular again. But Saturday Night Live is just, it's old.
It's old. It's just the problem with Saturday Night Live is, and I hate to throw hate out there, but it's because of TV.
Yeah.
TV has ruined Saturday Night Live. And I'll give it to you. Like, whoever's running Saturday Night Live right now, they're trying their hardest to make it relevant again because they're bringing Shane Gillis back. Next week is Sydney Sweeney. God bless. That's going to go trending everywhere. She doesn't have to fucking say anything on her monologue. She can just sit up there and just look good. And that's going to go trending. But to go back to Shane Gillis, I thought it was a good episode. Like I said, I think it's tough. I think Saturday Night Live is tough to watch. Like, I just watched Shane Gillis and I'm just like, man, he wanted to take this so much further. And they just were like, no. And so I'm going to say this. The best thing that ever happened to Shane Gillis was him getting fired from SNL.
It made him better bigger.
It made him bigger. It made him better. It made him like this thing that was untouchable. Now, obviously, I'm sure in the moment, it was probably devastating. But it was the best thing that could ever happen to him.
Do you think Saturday Night Live makes you perform the monologue before you go on TV?
Oh, you're practicing that 100%.
So they know exactly what jokes he's going to say, what he can and cannot say.
Yes.
Because he was saying in his thing that he's like, oh, I hope I can say this on TV. Like, you know, like that's what he was saying. Might have been playing into
that. But they were playing into that, of course. 100%.
It makes sense. But you did kind of want to see him go there a little bit and play more into the fact of why he got fired. Because the reason he got fired, we're not going to really deep dive it here. He pretty much got fired for jokes out of context and away from like old specials.
You could fucking take any comedian in the history of comedians and take like a sliver of their joke and make it seem like they're the worst person on earth. Like that's comedy.
But I do want to push back one thing about Saturday Night Live. God, I am struggling to say Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, just say SNL, dude.
The one thing about SNL that I will push back against you is the live sketch they do. I think it's cool. Now, yes, it has to be TV appropriate. They're kind of putting you in a box, putting funny people in a live scenario that they have to like sketch it out and it's not edited. It's not perfect. People are going to break character. People are going to laugh. I think it's funny.
No, I think it's a good, like, listen, the idea of SNL and what SNL has done and created in the superstars that have come from it, you cannot take that away. And I give them all the flowers in the world. But because it's on TV, like to me, SNL should almost have a TV series. And then they should have like their X rated sketches that they just put on YouTube and like Twitter and all these other things that like, yes, this didn't make the show, but we're still funny. And I think that's another way where it's like you're modernizing SNL. And I think SNL is going to get to a point anyway, where TV is irrelevant and it's going to have to go to a streaming platform. It's going to have to go to a YouTube. And then I think you can take the layers off a little bit and be like, okay, we can actually let these comedians kind of do their own thing. Because when you look at SNL, there's writers, there's comedians, there's everything, and they're whittling it down. Like even a guy like Shane Gillis, they're probably like, hey, bring like a couple ideas, because he's a comedian. Not everyone they do this for. Because like, you know, if a athlete comes in, say 21 Savage was there, right? If he was hosting it, or Sydney Sweeney, even better, she's doing it next week. She's not a comedian, she's an actor.
They're gonna write everything
for her. They're not gonna be like, hey, Sydney Sweeney, come in with a bunch of ideas. Now she might have an idea or two for a sketch, whether they do it or not. But I bet you Shane Gillis had 10 ideas that he was like, hey, let's do this. And then they were probably like, yeah, we could probably do that, you know, like change it out a little bit. Like the Trump shoes. Like to me, that was like Shane. Like,
yeah,
actually, I'm going to take that back. It wasn't Shane, because Shane's known for like his funny Trump stuff.
Yeah.
So I feel like they were like, oh, let's steer into it a little bit.
Maybe.
So I will say this. I think Shane was fantastic. 10 out of 10. Probably the best SNL that I've seen in years. But like I said, I think SNL's, it's tough to do it on TV.
So Joshua, after more than a decade, NCAA is coming back. The world cannot wait. Chris Fowler, you actually sent me a video about Chris Fowler, who is this announcer, was on College Game Day, but the best college football announcer, maybe of our time. And he was talking about how hard it's been doing the game analysis and how in-depth they're going, how many times he's had to repeat the mundane or the interesting plays. And he talked about how you can kick a 71-yard field goal. You can punt on second down. And they're talking about how they're going to deep dive the analysis and give you real reasons why you should or shouldn't do this. You can throw 5 picks with a quarterback, 5 touchdowns with a quarterback, how they're really going to be able to go into depth. Because most video games, as we were just talking about, like Madden, it's the same thing over and over. It gets repetitive, it gets boring, and that's why Madden is losing. But I think the twist we want to go on to, actually, I'll hold the twist. Joshua, how excited are you for NCAA?
I'm extremely excited. I just told you the other day, like, we don't game, we're not big gamers. I was like, I'm gonna buy a fucking new console for this. Like, I was like, I'm gonna invest, because I was like, that's how much this game means. And I think, just to go off that, I think 2025 as a whole, not just with NCAA, but with Grand Theft Auto, might be like the biggest. I shouldn't say it might. It will be the biggest video game year in the history of video games.
Yep.
And that's not even if you discount NCAA 25. If you discount GTA 5, that will be the most purchased game in the history of games. And I am excited for NCAA because it seems like they're taking like an actual video game route to it. And what I mean by that is, like, you look at like Grand Theft Auto, Red Dead, like any like first person shooter game, or like any like live action game where you can actually like run around the world. Those games are so much better than any sports game ever created.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of sports games are just like half assed. Like the game's good. Like when you're playing the game, like when I play Madden, the field is good, playing the game is good, but everything outside of that is just like blah.
It's boring.
It's boring, and it has no depth. There's no depth to the game. There's just like, yeah, you can go play a game, you can be in the season, or you can do a road to glory, whatever. They have to add the depth. Let us run around the world. Let us go from high school to college. Let us play 4 years of college, and then let's match up with Madden, and let me download my player onto Madden, and now I can play with the guy all through the game. Like, why can't we do that? Why are we not at that point yet?
I actually think you can do that. I think you used to be able to do that. There was something with it. I don't know if it was that easy or what really went into it.
And they definitely didn't promote it. And like, you got to think about it. Like, I was just like, this last weekend, I was playing 2013, like NCAA 2013. And the whole time I'm like, damn, this game has like so many, like you could go so deep with the layers of this that it's incredible. Like you start in high school, great idea. Everyone wants to start in high school.
Yes.
Then you go to college. You could play 3-4 years. Maybe you declare a draft, and then boom, in the game, it just like randomly drafts you somewhere. And then it's just like, it's connected. It's like anything. Like we can play COD with a computer, an Xbox, and a PS4.
Yeah.
So why can't I just extend the next layer to the game being Madden?
I completely agree. And I think the reason why 2K wins was the story mode. You know, they did high school 1 year, they did college 1 year. Then you obviously play in the pros, but then you have the 2K My Park, which allows you to kind of run around and
the My Park and
mingle a little bit. And that is what it is. I've always said that from the longest time. I'm like, what if you could just combine like Grand Theft Auto and Madden and NCAA and like into one thing. And obviously there's a lot of like regulations and things you can't do with Grand. You can't just go kill somebody and then go play a fucking
Hey, actually you're
game,
wrong. But- no, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. Because in the new GTA 5, guess what you're going to do? In the new GTA 5, you're going to be able to play 3-on-3 basketball. And that's why I was, but no. That's fucking hilarious.
It's not like paired with 2K though. It's just still a random 3-on-3 game in the park.
It doesn't matter, bro. I just thought that was like, that's how far GTA is going. And they're like, sports games are shitty.
Yeah.
And I think they were like, we can take advantage of that market of someone who's like, yo, they're gonna be like, and I saw a bunch of memes, people being like bringing the AK to the fucking court, and I was like, I was in tears laughing because that's like the GTA in it.
Yeah.
But to me, I'm like, that's why Grand Theft Auto wins, is because they're like, we're gonna go to Los Santos and this one random corner on the street is gonna be so detailed that it's just like in real life.
Yeah.
And that's where like these sports games, they're like, well, we're just doing this every year, so we're just gonna keep on just turning them out. And it's like, I can understand that, but why not just go deep, deep, and then as the game goes, you're just building off that same interface. It's not like they're creating a new interface every year. They're just building off of it. Mm-hmm. So go deep, take a year off. Like, that's the one thing I like about this NCAA. They were supposed to drop in 2024. They were still developing it.
Yeah.
So it's like, now that they were like, oh shit, the players didn't accept it, so now in 2025, they have accepted it. It's like, let's go deep. Let's have a little bit, like, build a run around campus. Like, imagine if you could do that. Imagine if you could just run around the campus you're on. Like, that in a sense would be incredible. And obviously, I get it. They can't customize every campus, but just do a couple generic ones.
Yeah.
Do one for the Midwest, do one for the East Coast, one for the South, one for the West.
I mean, that's what they did with the My Players you pick. Yeah.
So it's like, why not? My question is, who's going to be on the cover?
It's going to be Shedeur Sanders.
It's got to be. It's got to be one of the Sanders. It's got to be Shedeur. It's got to be, which is tough if you're in college football in a sense. Like, obviously, Shedeur is a big name, but like putting someone from Colorado on the cover, you're like, this fucking 4-win team guy gets on the cover. Like, that'd be a little tough.
But it's, I mean, he's probably going to be the top pick in the draft next year.
My idea was, I was like, they
should. It would be Caleb Williams if he was given another year.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was like, you can't put someone who's going to the NFL. You have to put someone who's in college.
Well, now you can. You used to not be able to. That's why it was like that, because you couldn't pay the athletes. So it had to be the person that was already in.
But imagine how much money Caleb Williams would ask for. He'd ask for a dumb fucking amount of money. Like, bro, you haven't done anything. Play for an average UFC team. Like, average.
So there's this company called DeBears, and at the time, they had control of 90% of the diamond supply. And during hard times in the 1930s, they had photographers take pictures of the coolest Hollywood celebrities and actors wearing diamonds in pictures. And after 3 years, sales increased 50%. With the increase in sales, they then convinced people to spend three times their monthly salary on an engagement ring. Even Marilyn Monroe made a song, Girls Love Diamonds, in one of the most famous movies at the time. Since they had a monopoly on diamonds, they would manipulate the release of them. And they even had a warehouse in London with roughly $5 billion worth of uncut diamonds, which created an antitrust law with the US and no longer could do business in the States. What I thought was even crazier is we have only enough gold to fill 3.5 Olympic-sized swimming pools, and we have a quadrillion amount of diamonds. And yet, gold is worth less than diamonds. And this is a huge reason why we're seeing lab-grown diamonds take over the market.
All I heard you say while you were talking there was marketing is king. Because at the end of the day, these diamond companies have convinced a lot, and I mean a lot, of white girls that they need a diamond on their finger, on their neck, on their ear, whatever it is, because that's the true thing. I don't know what it was. I don't know if this is the same company, but I remember like in the 1930s, they had an ad campaign in the New York Diamond District that was basically like, this was the ad, was you should be getting your girl a diamond when you get married. And if you're not, you're a broke boy. Like, that's literally the ad.
I mean, it probably was them, because at the time they had 90%. Yeah. Now, current day, they hold about 63%, which is a ton still. But at the time, they had 90%. They had a true monopoly on the industry.
I mean, that there was literally ads back in the day that were like, if you don't buy a diamond for your girl, you are a broke boy.
Yeah.
So now it's like the stigma is like, it's kind of like it's the true thing. Like, if you didn't, if you got engaged to a girl or a man or whatever and didn't get them a diamond, you would be looked at as like a second class citizen.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be like, even if your significant other doesn't care about it, other people would be like, oh shit, that's fake. That's a fake ring. Like, they would be judging you for it. So it is kind of a stigma. Like, that is true marketing.
It's like the keep up with the Joneses mentality. But what I thought was also interesting is DeBears, the company we're talking about, has a storefront on Madison Ave in New York.
That's great. Let's rob that bitch.
We appreciate everybody who tuned in and made it this far. And if you did, drop a like, leave a comment, subscribe, share with somebody, get value out of it, comment what you liked, what you didn't like, and we'll see you Friday.
Peace. I got a plan for my problems, I got a stack of this gold. I tell you I'm on a roll, about to get all this dough. Me and no fuck niggas know, I swear to God we the ghosts. This ain't the story they told, man, if you know, then you know. I never had to tell my dogs when we on roof for breaks. They pay for getters, they want money more than they want fake shit. I swear we go so hard, we on A-list. I see my niggas prevailing. We going hard for the hand, we gonna stack till we jaded. I just told my niggas that we on a mission.
Yeah. It's gonna be hard to get it. We tore apart for the misses. I put my heart and my feelings on tracks I don't even feel. We bout to bots, we drippin'. We bout to bots, we fall.